Welcome to the SDA Housing Podcast, brought to you by NDIS Property Australia. Before starting this episode, we need to provide a general disclaimer. Information contained in this podcast is general in nature only. It does not take into account the objectives, financial situation, or needs of any particular person. You need to consider your financial situation and needs before making any decisions based on the information in this podcast. And you should consider seeking independent and professional advice for your personal circumstances. All right, let's begin.
Hello everybody, my name is Min and I'm your host for today from NDIS Property Australia here in Brisbane. And you're listening to the SDA Housing Podcast, a show that explains, highlights, guides and brings awareness to all things SDA in this ever-changing world. Today we have a special guest speaker, Raymond Hempstead from One Contract Property, but representing his other subsidiary or sister company, UW Property. Raymond Hempstead, welcome.
G'day Min, thanks for having me.
Why are you here in Brisbane today for the show? What kind of show are you with?
We're at the Building Expo show up in Brisbane for investors. I'm talking there on Saturday at 3 o'clock in 11 o'clock in room 3, and we've got a display there talking to investors about a whole range of things, but also about NDIS properties and the possibility of investing through NDIS properties as well.
Wonderful. Well, 2 weeks ago, I think 2 or 3 weeks ago, Robert from our team spoke to Michael from your team about one-part contract, SMSF. That was very great. So this is a really follow-up to that that podcast and talk more about UW Property.
Yep.
Please explain to us the concept of what this division does in conjunction with the 1CP business model.
Yep. UW Property was originally started as an aggregation business, selling or providing properties to accountants and financial planners and investors across Australia. It's now developed, I suppose, further into that, where it's now moving into a position where it's going to be offering head leases across NDIS properties across Australia.
Wonderful. What made you offer this service to the market?
Understanding the market, tying into what we're doing with One Contract Property and offering choices to investors that are looking to build in their super fund, but then also people that are looking to build outside of the super fund. Looking at the NDIS program and having it as a participant-led model, there's a lot of people out there that I suppose are still scared or risk-averse about the sort of returns that NDIS properties provide, and they're looking at how they can, guarantee the income that they're looking to get out of an NDIS property. In looking at that, we've assessed it and we said, okay, because of the relationships we've got across the market, like with people like yourself, we're comfortable in saying, okay, we believe that we're backing the NDIS basically and saying the products are there, the participants are there, the quality of products are there, and we're putting our name behind a head lease to be able to bring investors into the market that they can now build these properties for the NDIS community.
Gotcha. So please explain what this head lease looks like from if I was to read a piece of paper saying your head lease offering here on a product, what the kind of product, where is it, what lease terms and payments, and what's going through your mind as a business owner with this offer? What's it offering to the investor here?
Yeah, I'll go back one step, and there are people out in the market promoting head leases. Now, what the marketers are promoting as a head lease is they're giving you a lease against the property and saying, when we get paid, you'll get paid. And so if there's no tenants in the property, you're not going to get paid. So the head lease is not really worth anything. We're taking it from a different point of view. We're looking, going back to the start and going through tenancy matching and when we're doing tenancy matching and looking at the associated risks about bringing the tenants on. But we're going to be having a head lease and it'll be project by project, and we'll assess each one as it comes through. We'll be giving either a one-year head lease, a five-year head lease, a 10-year plus two five-year options. But we'll be saying you'll be getting X amount of dollars month in, month out, whether there's tenants in the property or not. So really firming up, it is a head lease. It's guaranteeing income coming in on a monthly basis for you.
Now, this is obviously different from what the market has seen. That those SIL providers were offering that 6-7% head lease, right? Their objective is to secure the property to run their business from and ensure that they're going to offer some sort of return to the investor. And that's good because the responsibility is back on them as a provider to fill it up and run it properly.
That's right.
But yours is slightly different. You're not a SIL provider. You're just an arbitrage funding mechanism service. Is that?
Yes, that's right. That's right.
So other than commercially making money or a small margin, why expose yourself then? From a risk point of view?
From a risk point of view, we're in business to make money, and we recognise there is a potential of making a small margin across a whole lot of deals. In looking back, the government's providing great funding through the NDIS program to open up the entire market for the disability community, but it requires investors to be able to put their private money into it. Now, there's a whole lot of background to the NDIS. There's good stories, there's bad stories, and people coming up with, I suppose, their own fear factor in being able to put their money up. We're saying, okay, we understand the market. I was involved in the social side of it 20 years ago with another business. I've seen NDIS progress through to where it is today and recognise, okay, that risk factor that investors have, if we can remove that risk, yeah, from our side, we can make a bit of money, a small margin on the actual process, but we can remove that risk for the investor so they can actually put their money into the system to be able to provide quality housing long term.
Okay, well, just to help clarify to our listeners, to avoid a bombardment of phone calls next week to Raymond about their 15 units that are empty at the moment or being developed, what do you like and don't like as a product to attach your brand to endorse? So you said no to 15 units in a high rise?
And this is a personal opinion. I see the NDIS, the government's looking to do as an organisation is to be able to simulate the disabled people back into a normal community. And taking disabled people out of a big group home and putting them into another big group home, I don't believe in that, so I'm not going to be backing that sort of thing. Putting them into house and land packages, into duplexes, into five-pack townhouses and that sort of thing, where it's assimilating back into the environment, that's something that I'm very positive against and I like. But it comes back to also being a participant-led model. It's like, what does the participant need in that area where you're looking to build? Like, what classifications do you need to be building? It's not like find a block of land, build it, and they'll come. It's like taking a step back and looking at what the participants need, provide what the participant needs, and then you've got a real asset that you can move forward on.
But what if we come across a investor who's found a unit in a high rise and there was a participant who wanted to live on their own and it was only one transaction here for one off?
Yep.
Is that of consideration or is that still a no-no? Because not 15 in one block.
No, it'll be case by case.
Yes.
So it's not a carte blanche no to units, but it's looking at what does the participant need. It's like providing a service and a product that supports the participant in what we call a participant-led model. So providing products that the client needs.
So in your vetting process to approve something, what does your checklist with regards to location, amenities and all that kind of stuff, so what would be on your checklist?
First of all, are there service providers in the area that are going to be providing services to the participants? Are there participants in the area that match the
proposed dwelling?
The proposed dwelling. Is the proposed dwelling actually SDA approved? And does it meet all the requirements on that side of it? That'd be the main ones to start off with.
Yep. Okay. So you have two brands here, obviously. Does this potential service of UW Property, is it dependent upon the client also engaging One Contract Property as an SMSF deal?
No.
Okay. No. So it could be non-SMSF or SMSF?
Yeah.
Could it? What if a client comes along and goes, oh, well, I'm building one right now in a high demand area with SIL participants, SIL providers, and this person's in demand and they really want my house, HBS, in Adelaide, for example.
Yep.
And it does tick your checklist. That's still okay for your business to take those inquiries as well?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So it's not dependent upon your organization to actually have provided the stock.
No.
Yeah, it's just a funding mechanism, business model to assess and go from there.
Yeah. Mm. Like from a business point of view, we're about provide, like one contract property is about providing choice. UW Property is the mechanism that's further developing that choice on how investors are looking to use their money.
Yes. When is a head lease appropriate and not appropriate for an investor in this SDA space?
That will come back to your risk analysis of the investor. Again, we're open about it. We'll be making a margin on it, all right? So you'll be getting a guaranteed rent. Will you be getting the full rent? No, you won't be, because we're going to cover our costs as well, right? So if you as an investor are a bit nervous about stepping into the space, we can provide, it might be a shorter term head lease rather than a 10 plus 5 plus 5. We could look at, I suppose, guaranteeing that mid-term and short-term investment for you, so you're comfortable about putting your money forward to getting into the NDIS programs.
Mm-hmm. Also, Raymond, I would assume that there has to be a bit of vetting on your end with who the providers are.
Yes,
because 100%. Just because they found a provider doesn't mean that you're gonna agree with that provider, because the risk is on them to manage that participant or the participants.
Yes,
under the head lease.
There's a lot of provider, a lot of people stepping into the market and saying they're SDA providers, and they're a one man band, and they're promising the world. Can they deliver? Some of them probably can. There's going to be a whole range of people that come in and out of the system. And even as an investor, you need to be doing your due diligence about that side of it before you actually step ahead. And talking to people like Ming and who've got the experience in that side is really important to be able to understand the investment and remove yourself from a lot of the marketing hype that goes around because of the dollars, and step back and look at the actual people, the participants that are there, because they're the real asset. The house is just the byproduct of it all.
Yes. So the reason why we set up this podcast 4 months ago, Raymond, was we found that there was no source of collaborative material online or anywhere to show all these investors around Australia as to what's involved. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they just don't realise that a four-bedroom HPS house at 150 grand rent is not an actual reality.
No.
And they're all finding it. That out now, 2 years later, after the fact.
Yeah.
And our goal really is to provide, in part, education, knowledge, experience, guest speakers to all our listeners online in around Australia, that the reality is a three-bedroom house, carer plus two residents, is the way to go. Mm. Not the tenancy mix is also a relevant topic that you should be aware of. So it's not always HPS all the time. There are other categories like IL, FA, and robust as well. So as Raymond said earlier, the right product, the right place, the right time, even the right design, they all have to be tick, 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 tick.
They do.
One mistake there in that checklist is you're gone.
It is. And like there's if something looks too good to be true, and like this might sound a bit old fashioned, but if it's looks too good to be true, and someone's marketing something that you're giving an 18% return or some really, really high return, not saying it isn't true, but look really closely, because if they're talking about those sort of returns, whenever you're getting a high return, there's usually an associated risk coming along with that high return. Now, there's risk in all investing, and anybody that says there's not, you need to question them a bit more. But you can minimize those risks in what you're doing as you're moving through. And the head lease that we're looking to provide is trying to minimize that sort of risk for you, the investor.
So in the real world of property investing, we always go out to get our pre-approved finance, right?
Yeah.
So that's, everyone knows that. So if you're an SDA investor, you should also get a pre-approved provider, pre-approved participants, pre-approved head lease. So my advice, our advice to you is, if you're talking to someone who's a real estate agent or a marketer and are promoting these massive returns on this product, just ask the question, where's the letter of endorsement, letter of comfort letter, number one.
Absolutely.
Get your comfort letter from the provider, get your pre-approval letter, get your get in contact with the providers, the housing provider, not the seal provider, to ensure that they are endorsing this suburb, this area, this design and the category, to give you level of comfort. Because, you know, before you give away $1 million, you should never, ever believe whatever anyone is selling you until you see written writing, right? That's not to say that anyone is lying to you, but it'd be nice to get some form of confirmation that you're doing the right thing in that area. Because what you don't see as an investor is the other 10 houses around the corner being built, because no one's telling you about that.
That's right.
Right? And that's the thing that Raymond and his team at UW Property or One Contract Property will also do. They'll check who's building what in the area. Are they exposed? Because they don't want to be exposed by risk of commercial shortfall and you're out of pocket for 5-10 years with empty house. That's the least that we want to happen. And if Raymond's doing that as with his team to ensure that it's the right product in the right area, then obviously that is a good indication to you as an investor that it is the right thing to do.
Do your due diligence. Ask the questions. And if you're not sure what questions to ask, speak to Ming, speak to my team to actually find out what questions you should be asking. And speak to two or three different people. You can speak to a lot of people, then you get lots of different opinions. But look at people that are experts in the industry, not marketers in the industry, but experts and have got relationships in the industry. But do your due diligence.
So, Raymond, if our listeners or developers or builders, whoever, providers in Australia are listening to this podcast, how should they best contact your team?
They can speak to Tony.
Tony's going to keep whining.
They can speak to Tony, Michael, Nitin. They can speak to myself. They can give us a call on 1300 081 045, or drop us a line at admin@uwproperty.com.au, and love to be able to chat with them and work it through with them.
Tony, do you have any words of pearls of wisdom you want to impart before we finish the podcast, Tony?
Just really reiterating what you guys have talked about is whilst things might look shiny and profitable on the surface, dig a bit deeper and talk to people who have been around for a while, who know what they're talking about and can provide you the information that you need to make a good investment decision, because it's a big investment.
In conclusion, I want to say, look, no one's saying the investor has to have a head lease. You don't have to. It's optional.
It's choice. It's choice.
But if you are a low risk investor who really low profile, risk profile being a low risk investor, you want to be part of it, but you can't see yourself imparting $1 million into one asset, as Raymond said to us earlier, just hold firm and think about it, and look at your advisors, your lawyer, your accountant, your bank manager, talk to Raymond's team, and go from there, because no one's forcing you to buy this SDA property. But be wary of the advisor that you're talking to, because there are a lot of shonky operators out there who are just selling the wrong thing.
But also, especially when you talk, like if you're talking to a financial advisor or you're looking to talk to a financial advisor, one of the questions you need to ask them, do they classify real estate as an asset class? Because there's a lot of financial advisors out there that don't classify real estate or privately held real estate as an asset class directly, right? So in asking those questions, whether it's your financial advisor or your accountant, ask those questions, get an understanding of where they're coming from. What are they investing in? Where do they put their money? That's something to look at. Where, like my businesses, UW Property, One Contract Property, we're about giving choice about how people invest, whether they're investing with their superannuation money and building property in that, or they're investing outside of superannuation and using their money outside of that. It's about giving you choice and options to be able to how to invest, and then working with your financial advisors to be able to move you forward for your short, medium and long-term goals.
Even though you are, all these services you provide, as UW and One Contract. You're not an advisor.
No.
So you're merely a transactional hub to provide that service, not an advisory service.
We've just got products that allow you to have different choices across the market.
I think that's it. I mean, anything else you want to add other than...
No, appreciate the time for catching up, and hopefully the listeners have got a lot out of it, and we've enabled them to ask more questions.
On the website, onecontractproperty.com.au, there's a lot of videos that you guys have.
There are.
And FAQs.
Yep.
So if everyone wants to understand the concept of 1CP, SMSF kind of transactions, go to the website and watch the videos with Raymond and Michael. And the team there would be able to handle any of your questions at all to go from there. Thank you very much for your time, guys. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. Please make sure you are subscribed and following us so you can keep in the loop with all of our upcoming episodes. We would really appreciate it if you could leave us a 5-star rating, a written review, and to share this podcast with those that could benefit. Until next time, catch you on the next episode.